I got enough cars to choke a camel.
Oh, what does that even mean? I mean, I'm sure one car is enough to choke a camel. I mean, cars probably. Are pretty big.
Sure. Sure.
Oh, goddamn.
I don't know if it was... I mean, I think the way you interpreted that makes more sense, but I don't know if it was either that or in the sense that, oh, we can make a noose out of these cars and choke a camel.
Okay, that's a,
enough
man,
cars
you are,
to do that.
You are... Your imagination is just another tier, I guess. Look, all I know is Crazy Ernie will club a baby seal if I don't buy one of his cars.
So. Oh, man, what a movie.
Jesus Christ.
Honestly. Like... I kind of went blind, like super blind. To
me
this
too.
Movie.
I went a little more blind or less blind.
Yeah.
I knew, you know.
I had no idea what this movie was about. I had no idea what the premise was, but honestly, I was spoilers, folks. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
But before we get into today's episode of the Spotter Pod, Spot number 93, UHF. Now, what does UHF stand for?
It stands for ultra high frequency.
Yes, sir, because it's an ultra-high-frequency TV station.
Yeah,
right?
Which apparently that's how a lot of like low-budget TV on in America, at least,
was done
they
back
use
then.
UHF.
Yeah.
Stuff like, you know, random people just doing whatever, shooting whatever
throwing
in the
out the window. Yeah, that happens, folks.
Oh, yeah.
But before we cover today's topic... As always, I'm Jeffrey Excellence, and with me here, directly across my face.
Yes, it is I. Damn, I was about to say the Big O, but I don't know if I want to keep
Big Kahuna.
I kind of like that.
Twinkle Toes.
You're the only one that calls me anything else, and I'm a
Big O.
I'm just over.
Just I don't know your middle name, so.
Oh, okay.
I think you've told me. I just can't remember.
Well, don't worry about it.
What is it?
Aniba. INIBA.
I-N-I-B-A.
I mean, hold on. I just want to know. So, most people, their middle name is like just another name that their parents give them?
It should be... No, no. Most people, I think it's their mother's maiden name.
No, because that's what I thought. But yeah. Bianca, she was like, yeah, no, most people...
No, I disagree.
Maybe it's a white person.
I think for a lot of Filipinos, their middle name is like...
Okay, because I know... Isn't yours Kirk?
No, that's actually part of my first name.
What? What do you mean it's part of your first name? I never knew this.
The Filipino thing of like two first names, you know.
I don't have two.
Because my middle name's my mother's maiden name.
Oh, that's on that. What the heck? What the heck?
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
I don't have two first names. Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not
you're just enough. Joshua.
Both of our parents, they changed. They had original names when they were in the Philippines, but when they moved, they changed it. To be fair, though, I don't think they changed them to more... Or, okay, I guess...
What's your mother's name? I actually don't even know.
Lerma. But her original name is Amancha.
They're definitely not... She didn't pick the most traditional
I know,
American name she could have.
Yeah, but like... whatever.
Sure.
But anyway...
Before we get too sidetracked...
Getting a little too personal about more information about...
But hey, what's your social security number?
Anyway, it's a 666.
Wow. I would have said 420.
69.
69, 420. Dude, there's some legend out there.
Goddamn.
Whose social security is probably 420, 69.
Well, maybe they're dead.
69,
and they
69.
Never got to live to see that. To see the meme.
Don't they reuse social security numbers?
I have no idea.
I thought they did.
Well, then I guess you're just going to have to keep reincarnating until you get
until you get the right. I wonder how much you would have to pay to get. To get a custom social security
number. I don't think that's how it works.
You know, in TV shows, they have fake identities all the time, right? You know, what if you stroll up like, hey, Biden, here's a cool $1 million, brother.
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
I want you to change my social security number.
But
all
that...
Right?
Okay. Whatever.
Yep.
Anyway. Talking about terrible ideas, Shadow the Edgehog.
The Edgehog, folks.
As I called it, was our last episode. And I really don't know who to blame for, I guess both of us. I mean, I think you brought it up first, but then I'm the one that spent money to buy a new copy.
God bless you.
Yeah.
A copy that fucked us, but honestly for the better.
It probably saved us an hour or two at most, honestly, but hey, you know what? I will treasure that hour for the rest of my life.
I just want to reiterate, as I do every time we talk about a Sonic game with multiplayer, but the multiplayer, was chaotic. Right. It's short,
but like,
and it's actually more fun than the base game.
Yeah, because the base game. I mean, I guess I don't really have a big problem with the premise. Like, sure, Sonic with guns. I'm down for stupid things, but like, I feel like the control. Oh, it's always the control.
It's just Shadow with that Glock.
He's just the Glock. The Glock and the roller skates.
Yeah. the ultimate life forms weapons of choice. Roller skates and the good old Glock.
Why the hell is the ultimate life form a hedgehog? I'll never understand that.
Because hedgehogs are truly the masters of the universe.
It's like, I don't even think it's like, he's based on like Sonic. Because like, okay, he is created by...
aliens and Robotnik. Well, alien DNA, right? I thought that was the connection. The plot of this is a little too convoluted.
I don't know. Whatever. Don't...
Look. Hold on, let me sell this to you. Why the hedgehogs are the ultimate life form. Alright, so you saw Gurren Lagann, right? Or you saw a majority of it?
I watched one episode.
You fucking trash, bro. Oh, point being is there's a hedgehog in Gurren Lagann.
Ha!
Or a porcupine. No, it's a hedgehog.
Okay.
But, as a pet.
Alright, yeah. I figure it's an actual hedgehog. It's the main character. Hey, Seamon, how's it going?
I kind of want to do Gurren Lagann now that we're talking about it. But point being is, the core idea of Gurren Lagann, or what they like to put over, is spirals, right?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Key of the universe, blah, blah, blah. So, if hedgehogs can be related... to spirals and drills, to pierce the heavens, and are the key to the universe.
Okay.
Therefore, by transitive property, hedgehogs
are
the key to the universe.
Also
known as the ultimate life form. Yeah. So, there, bing, bang, boom.
Not as good as a proven theorem. I loved using that one.
I totally forgot what that one was.
Oh, no, it's just like, remember how having to do proofs?
Yes.
Proofs and,
yes.
And if you didn't know, you just put... I remember doing that.
I think I remember someone saying that.
It's like, oh yeah, step one given, step two proven. Like, I don't know.
I thought you said something else. I didn't realize you were saying proven, but yeah. All right, but
anyway,
we're droning on for too long. Yeah. So let's get into UHF. Give us a quick overview.
Yeah, so UHF is Weird Al's one and only movie. Weird Al, the
really his only movie.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah. You know, this bombed hard.
Yeah, I mean,
not do well.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, if this was your only movie ever, it's not. Actually, I don't think it was a bad movie.
Oh no, well, I think we'll both like, you know, heap on some praise as this pod goes on. But yeah, no, you know, American musical icon Weird Al plays a character named George. We're just gonna call him Weird Al, who buys a TV station, and just things happen. that's my quick overview. Weird Al buys a TV station, which, to be fair, I will say I kind of expected, knowing Weird Al, he's called weird for a reason, you know, he's got a very specific sense of humor. I was kind of expecting a barrage of like wacky TV show vignettes, and we did get, I mean,
I thought it was a really smart way to frame all the vignettes or skits together.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he has a TV show, so he's filling in his TV time with, you know, weird commercials. Like, what's the name of the car commercial guy?
The car commercial? Crazy Ernie Earl?
Yeah, Crazy Edgar Earl or whatever. Earl. And then, but also, like, with the community of the people on their show, like, I actually thought it was a really smart way. And
yeah.
I know I'm jumping ahead on the key directing, but I thought that was a smart way for the plot to frame its story. And why you're seeing these vignettes and even the music video in there.
Yeah. And basically, they got a fight against the big corporation who wants to buy them out and tear them down. They're doing better rate. They're doing better in the rate. Oh, no. You got to buy. What is it?
No, holds barred.
I take my competition and I... I forget what he says.
Are you trying to quote No Holds Barred?
No, I'm trying to quote out when Vince bought Nitro.
Oh,
WCW.
Okay. Yeah. I remember I watched that.
The fate of WCW
was in my hands. Yeah, some shit like that.
Yeah, can you believe he fucking retired? That's crazy.
Hey, you know what?
That is... Wow.
You know, he had a... That's, you know, normally we don't cover the news.
Oh, yeah, I think this is...
But I think this is noteworthy, right? I'm sure every other jabroni and Mark is talking about it, but I do want to say, like, a little piece about it.
Sure, yeah, go.
You know, like, no matter how you feel about, like, Vince's current storylines or whether you like him or you hate him.
Or Vince person.
Yeah, maybe him. Yeah. I don't know him as a person, okay, so yeah. I can't speak on that, right?
Just seeing the things that he's done outside of wrestling, which is... But, like, yeah, no, sure. Looking at his actual body of work.
No, if you had to look at his impact on the business, I don't think you could really find anyone else with a similar body of work. Yeah. And I think that's at least deserves some degree of respect, if not more.
Yeah, so can't wait to see him enter his own Hall of Fame.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, why wouldn't he be in it?
Yeah. And he's the only one.
He's the only one in that class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's me, Austin. It's always been me.
Oh, but yeah, that was
a terrible impression.
I can't do it all. I wish, I mean, if there was one wrestler impression I wish I could do, I wish it was Austin.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I got a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yes, but what? Fine. Oh, I can't. Some Steve White.
No,
some
that's
Steve.
Not right. Yeah, Steve. I can't do it either.
Oh, jeez. We're just fumbling. Anyway, whatever.
That's what this podcast does.
It really is.
We fumble.
We just fumble.
But it's how you recover is what matters.
Yeah, anyway,
well,
moving
on. How does the Golden Boy quote go?
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
The fuck.
I don't even know what quote you're going for. No idea.
The night is always the darkest before the rising sun.
Okay,
some shit like that. Yeah, the glorious sunrise. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Some shit like that.
All right, I've heard that outside of that is, you know, the light. What is it? It's always the darkest before the night.
The
glorious.
Yeah, we're moving on from this. But yeah, tonally speaking, you know, honestly, what would you expect from a Weird Al? Now, I say that, but Jordan Peele is from Key and Peele.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, yes. His movies are actually more dramatic and meant to be a serious tone, but he doesn't do comedy movies, right?
Yeah.
At least as far as I know.
Yeah. And I wonder, actually, did he, I have the Wikipedia page. I'm pretty sure he directed. There's no way he didn't direct.
Yeah, of course.
That's directed by Jay Levy. Huh. Oh, I think this is his manager. Fair. But he still had a strong creative saying.
It's his movie. How could he not?
Starring him. Yeah. Anyway.
But no, this obviously, this movie doesn't try to change different tonally from Weird Al as an artist. But it's a over the top humor, lots of slapstick, you know.
Yeah. I will say I'm kind of like relieved that it's not just like the Weird Al movie where it's like he's the focus. He's not, his character actually really isn't the focus of a lot of the humor. It's kind of like, yeah, it's just his character is just like a vehicle for delivering the skits. But most of those skits have, like, you know, other people,
other characters,
some of the other characters. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting that I guess outside of the big, film parodies in the beginning, and the end of the film, like, he's not really doing anything super crazy. Oh no, he does. You know, he does some shouting. He makes a Twinkie wiener sandwich. That's kind of weird. He gets his best friend fired at Burger World.
Right. Actually, touching back on the theme that you were saying earlier about the big business, I guess the overall end message was that the community matters more than the corporation, because the UHF station that Weird Al runs is essentially featuring the community, the people, and obviously, the people want to watch the people.
Want to watch ourselves.
Yeah, so
stupid things.
That's why the community station had higher ratings, and that's why the big business station ended up, you know, going down. And the representative of the big business station, Mick.
Oh, hold on. What was it? Oh, I have it right here. Thank God. R.J. Fletcher.
Okay, Fletcher, Mick. But
yeah, complete.
Jeez, whatever. Not even close. But Fletcher, the representative.
I just put evil guy. Okay. I had no idea.
He gets his just desserts, and in it's such an extreme way. Like, not only did he lose his chance to buy out Channel 62, which is Weird Al's station, but Fletcher also got hit in the nuts by an old lady.
No.
He didn't get his Rolex. In fact, a deranged looking fellow got a Rolex and showed it off to him. And then, what's happened to him? I think that was it, right?
Yeah, and he got his, revoked, his license.
Oh, yeah, the FCC took his license away.
They wouldn't let him be. Or let me be me, so let me see. They try to shut me down on MTV, but it feels so empty without me. Anyway.
Nice.
What are we doing? What are you talking about?
No, and then, I do think you have right here the importance of imagination.
Yeah.
I think that does... that does really, I mean, kind of like that hero's journey of like the character wishes they could be somewhere better, bigger. Yeah, because
Weird Al's character is shown to be like, he got fired from like four different jobs
in the same month, right?
Which, hey, I thought, kind of impressive that you were able to get hired
multiple times like that.
If you're going to that fourth job and like,
I mean, who knows?
I got fired three times.
But
like,
it might just be down bad for workers. Who knows? Yeah, but I was gonna say, but no, he's finally able to realize his talents. Like, even his girlfriend, whose name I can't remember,
Terry. I don't know why I remember that.
Wow. But Terry even mentions like, "Oh, I wish there was a way for you to better express your talents."
Yeah.
And it cuts to Weird Al like making a mountain out of the mashed potatoes.
Yeah. See, because even the lowly mashed potato, just like the community of wherever the fuck this was, I don't think so.
Huh.
Even that can create something great, like a mountain of mashed potatoes.
That's why he said this is important.
Yeah.
Man, that was...
Oh, what the heck? Yeah, right. What the heck? We are creating... We are learning things. I didn't even think about that until
I think we're just reaching. That's some AP literature bullshit answer right there. That's like,
what did the blue curtains mean? What
are you saying? That's the type of answer you put down when you didn't read the book. You're like, fuck, man.
There was hearts and heart darkness, right?
There was a heart.
I have no idea how I passed any of those classes. I didn't read a single damn book in AP
Lit. Oh, man. Let's not mention the teachers there. It's a shame, man. But R.I.P.
That is a... R.I.P. Wait, I think we had a different lit teacher. I don't think I had my lit. Whatever.
No, not R.I.P. in the sense that they died.
Okay!
Yeah, I didn't mean it like...
That's what you were saying!
No, like, that's not what I meant.
I didn't know that the...
I just meant like, you know...
I mean, it has been over a decade, so...
No, I doubt it.
Okay. Anyway. Going into characters and arcs. I mean, honestly, I like we said, maybe...
It's a lot of the protags. It's like their characters realizing they're better versions of themselves, right?
Yeah, like the nanny. What's her name? Fran or whatever.
Oh yeah, Fran. Drescher. Drescher. Yeah.
Plays. She was like a secretary for the.
I think so.
Or she was like a receptionist to the station.
But then she's able to really become a newscaster. To be, a
newscaster and the dwarf guy who. Got shat on by R.J. Fletcher.
Becomes a cameraman.
Becomes a successful cameraman.
Stanley,
the standout character, who I apparently found out that he is played by the guy who plays Kramer in Seinfeld. Which I've never watched Seinfeld, but I do know Kramer is like a big deal. he's like the standout character.
Are they like similar characters?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, because Stanley's like pretty dopey.
Stanley is kind of a dopey guy, but you know what? The people fucking love him.
So, hey. He's a man of the people.
He really is.
He's the people's champ.
And I think that's why... I remember when you were watching him, like, hey, is this okay to... But I think they never, like...
they never outwardly say that he's...
They're never laughing at him. He's never the joke. He's just... He makes...
He does things that make you laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He's the hero that saved the fucking channel.
That is true. Honestly. He hulked out and got his mom.
He really did.
Because he loves his mop so much.
He loved his mop so much.
His parents gave him a mop when he was 8.
That is...
I feel like that's kind of...
I mean, hey, you know, if you gotta do... Instill a strong work ethic at a young age.
Jeez. Well, I guess that's one way to put it.
It just sounds like getting a child labor.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, with a family business, hey, you know...
That's true. I remember I went to a banh mi place. The banh mi was really good, though. Yeah, super affordable, and the food was good. Mm-hmm. But I saw a kid working behind the counter. I was like, this guy looks like he's 14. And I'm pretty sure you have to be at least 15 and a half to have a job.
Don't worry about it.
But hey, whatever.
All right. But yeah, other than, I don't know.
There's George's best friend, who I can't remember. It was kind of not remarkable.
He was just kind of whatever. Yeah.
Maybe he did tentacle stuff. I don't know.
What? Hello?
I don't know. Because he was doing remember he was doing the billings? He let George know.
I thought you said tentacle.
No.
Holy
technical.
Shit.
Technical.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He was doing the bills.
Okay. I thought, okay. That makes sense.
The girlfriend.
She was there to basically show.
I don't think she really developed, but I think she just got to witness.
Well, Yeah, I guess she realized that George wasn't such a bad guy.
Well, I guess if anything, he helped motivate her because he put George in that down place, right?
Yeah.
Or she helped motivate him, rather.
Yeah, by dumping him.
Yeah, by dumping his ass. And then he did the most simp-ass thing. Remember the voicemail call?
No, I forgot.
It was like, oh, I'll come back. Oh, yeah, we just watched this yesterday.
I know.
And then when he did the super simp thing of putting all the balloons
and
the sign.
Somehow getting into... Well, maybe he had a house key, but that's still like... If you're broken up, and you probably shouldn't be walking into that house.
No, you shouldn't.
Probably a bad idea. But hey, you know what?
But hey, it worked out in the end, I guess.
It all worked out.
All right, let's talk about Fletcher, the evil guy, representing big business.
Yeah.
Basically shows that it's about the people, not the businesses. So that's why he gets downtrodden so badly. Yeah. Doesn't get his rolly. The son was like, I thought the son was honestly going to do a face turn, but he ended up falling in the mud and being a bum.
He was just kind of whatever.
Yeah.
Which I guess is like, maybe the contrast, it's like, look, everyone who works, for most people who work at the other
channel. Big Pharma, catch us that Big Pharma.
Except for that guy with the mustache, or the fake mustache.
Oh, the gun guy? No,
the other guy.
I remember that, take that ridiculous thing off.
I guess we referenced it already. I was going to put it in to notable moments, but it's fine. It's good. It's all good. But he's an evil dude, and he gets his comeuppance. So
really? Okay. Just showing you, like, eat shit.
Very comically over-the-top villain.
That's how a lot of the movie's humor comes from, is that over-the-top humor. And sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't, but I wouldn't say it's not like an hour and a half slog.
Yeah. No, there's some real good ones.
Yeah.
We should probably get into it. But, getting into Weird Al, we kind of went into his character, the finding your purpose, or finding purpose in life, providing television, you know.
Yeah.
People.
Finding his true place.
Giving a voice to the voices.
CM George.
I think that's it. Yeah, nothing too deep. Really to analyze, you know, but I feel like most of the movie I do appreciate the presence of actual
movie.
Yeah, I do appreciate the presence of a plot in these characters, but at the end of the day, like, I'll remember this movie for all the funny,
for the small bits, not really the overarching plots. But I think that was by design, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Any notable moments? Any questions you got? Plot hole.
I am just kind of curious on, like, the physics of this world, but...
I mean...
Or, like, is it Weird Al's imagination? Or is it, like, when he gets tossed into the air by Linda, you know? Or is that the actual physics?
I think it was kind of proven, like, it's just whatever.
Yeah. No, this movie does not take itself seriously. There's not really a lot of plot holes to think of, because the plot's just meant to, like... It's not paper thin. Like, it actually is... cohesive enough to, like, link everything together, but it's not meant to be the main feature of the movie.
So just get into some of the good jokes. I mean, it begins with an Indiana Jones parody, the one I remember is when he's on the way to the fucking temple and there's just a bunch of, like, no entry signs. It's like, yeah, you know what, maybe
I think
those ancient Aztecs are like, yeah, please
don't come in. I thought my favorite, and that was so showcase Al's, or rather George's overreactive imagination, but I think my favorite part of the Indiana Jones parody was when he went to go whip a guy, he being George, he whipped an enemy with his whip and on the left arm, and then the arm that fell off was actually a right arm.
It was a right arm.
Which I'm pretty sure wasn't a mistake, rather an intentional detail. That, which is, you know, honestly, that was funny to me. That was a good chuckle.
Yeah. Kind of reminded me of the Black Knight in Monty Python. Where just good stuff. Good stuff. Anyway.
Tis but a flesh wound, yes.
Yeah. And then I guess I'm grouping them together with the Rambo.
Because it's a movie parody, right?
Yeah. And then the Rambo parody where he's pretending to save Stanley from the evil guys. And he just gets all the flesh suit. Just clearly a different color than his face, but yeah, you know what? I mean...
The orange flesh suit. I liked it when he would just, like... Remember when he was shooting at the guy, and then he had like no, the enemy had no explosives on him, yeah, but he just blew up randomly.
Yeah.
Then they just, then he started just shooting at random things like the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, because you know, what the French fuck you, you know.
And then he destroyed the Rome Colosseum.
Yeah.
It was so over the top. I honestly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah, good stuff. And honestly, I even think like both of those things kind of like stand. Like, I've never seen Rambo, and I've never seen Indiana Jones.
Sure.
But, like, and maybe it's like, okay, those are both, like, things in,
popular
like,
the cultural culture.
Zeitgeist. Or, yeah, I guess that's a less pretentious way to say it. And pop culture that, like, I'm aware of, but, like, they kind of stand on their own as just, like, fun little things to open and kind of close the movie. It wasn't the exact end.
I actually thought that, I'm glad you pointed that out. That's actually a neat detail. We opened the movie with a movie parody, Indiana Jones, and we close the movie effectively with another movie parody, Rambo.
And apparently, Sylvester Stallone was like supposed to make a cameo at the very end.
Couldn't afford him, pal.
Maybe, but at least on the Wikipedia page, it says he declined to show up at the end of the game.
He said, "Fuck Weird Al."
God, I've got to make more Rocky movies. I can't. Actually, I fucking love the Rocky movies. We should do one.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe the bad one, because of course.
Oh, Rocky.
Rocky Five.
I was gonna say four. I was like, no, that's the Russian.
Which, to
one.
Be fair, does feature like an actual boxer.
Yeah, that loses to
Tommy Gunn was like a real guy.
An actual boxer that jobs to the movie boxer.
Yeah.
Can we watch 3 because it has Hogan?
Oh no, I do. I honestly, 3 is my favorite just because it's
what? It's not 4.
Are you even American? I feel like I've said this before. I, you know, it's got Mr. T,
or even 2.
Okay, because objectively, I think 1 is the best.
Yeah,
but like 3 is just come on.
I think one of the neat details about Rocky 1.
Okay.
I know, but one of the neat details is that, you know, they did not have the budget for sound effects, so all the sound effects you hear is just Sylvester Stallone actually making the noises, which God bless him.
God bless him, man. Anyway, yeah, getting into more stuff.
Other things I wanted to mention.
Obviously, we got the Twinkie Wiener sandwich. No, the change guy at the beginning, who is plot relevant,
yes,
he came in, but his first appearance when he's like, oh, sir, do you have change? And then he actually gives Weird Al change. He's like, you know, as opposed to
like you said, just, you know, taking money from him. Subverting expectations. It's the key to comedy, right?
Yeah. Like the Rubik's Cube, blind man with the Rubik's Cube.
I thought that was actually really funny.
That one killed me.
The blind man trying to figure out a Rubik's Cube and him telling his friend, like, is this right?
No.
You know, if I had to explain, like, tonally speaking or plot speaking of this movie, it's kind of like watching a Simpsons episode, but it's like a movie, and it's not the Simpsons movie.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the humor is kind
of the same ilk, right?
Where it's kind of clever, but it's still like funny.
It's clever, but it's still over the it's still over the top, you know.
Yeah, Rubik's Cube, guns don't kill people, I do.
Oh, that was good.
I think that one's my favorite.
That was fucking hilarious.
Special bullet in.
Yes.
Bullet in the camera.
God damn it. Oh, dude, I want to, you don't have it on here, but I want to put over Gandhi 2.
Gandhi
2?
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Gandhi 2.
No, the fact that it's Gandhi 2, not Gandhi 1, implies that there was Gandhi 1, which was a successful film in this universe, so much so that it warranted a sequel.
No, but see, the premise of this movie, quote unquote, of Gandhi 2, is so Gandhi 1 was a pacifist, but Gandhi 2.
Oh, he's done.
I like to think it's like a different Gandhi. It's another guy named Gandhi, but it's the original Gandhi sequel. But he, instead of pacifism, he solves all his issues with pure violence.
Pure violence.
And it just cuts to him, like, being the fucking...
Yeah, and, like, doing everything.
Shooting motherfuckers.
You know, doing everything opposite.
Eating cow.
Like, eating meat, medium rare, mingling with women.
Oh, man. Honestly, that was good shit. Like,
that was good stuff.
It was real... Like, I just can't stop myself from putting over, like, using the... framing the plot and vignettes with the UHF station was a smart thing to do. Because then, and also because the skits actually were pretty funny.
Conan the Librarian. I didn't put that one on, but
that
like,
one's pretty good. We're
like, oh, sorry, Conan, sir. Oh, this book is late. And he just
chops him in half, and they even animate him being chopped in half.
That was pretty good. Obviously, Crazy Ernie's with his crazy car deals, which, you know.
Gonna call the seal.
Because, you know, we've all seen how crazy those prices are in real life. The Spatula
Fuck
City.
Fuck, man.
I love the company so much, I bought it.
I like Spatula so much, I bought the company.
You bought the company.
And of course, the guy who bought the... Of course, the Spatula commercial was, like, all happy-go-lucky and high energy. Yeah. And the guy who buys it's, like, super deadpan and monotone.
And remember, if you buy 9 spatulas, you get the 10th one for a cent.
1 penny.
Yeah, it's like, wow, what a deal.
Because who doesn't need 10 spatulas?
I really wanted, when the son of R.J. Fletcher gave him the gift, I really wanted it to be a spatula.
Fuck, that would have been good.
That would have turned this movie from, like, a 9 out of 10 to 10. You know?
It would have been an 11. It would have been a six-star match.
That would have been the difference.
Yeah, that's what would have gotten money at the box office. Yeah.
But then I think honestly, maybe the best one for me is the animal guy with the flying poodles.
Oh my god!
Ooh,
I'm about to teach these poodles how to fly. Does he teach them how to fly, Manny? Manny tosses poodles out the window. He's like, oh, some of them don't learn so good.
No, and the best part about me is like, hey, where'd you find this guy? Me, I thought you found him.
No, that's a good point. Yeah,
it's like how
he just hijacked the TV segment.
Like, that's funny. That's kind of frightening, you know.
Oh, I just want to put over. I love Fran Drescher. Growing up, watching The Nanny.
Ooh, okay,
always had a crush on her.
Ooh,
okay. She's always great.
Yeah, I didn't really. Yeah, well, she wasn't in my TV repertoire.
Nick at Night. Nick at Night, bro.
Yeah, it was more of a Fresh Prince.
Oh, Fresh Prince is good. Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of it, but Fresh Prince is good.
Good stuff. What I was talking about, the Wheel of Fish.
Yeah,
the Wheel of Fish was pretty good.
Featuring Cooney
with the mystery box, which maybe that's where that started. Like, ooh,
I feel like it was based off something. I don't think they created that concept.
Maybe
I do want to say though, a neat character detail. That's another thing I think was well done as far as the directing in the movies is the characters. Like, they do have neat details about them, right? There's, like, characteristics to them that are unique and identifiable. For example, one of the characters, Cooney, who is the karate master, he always jumps, but majority of the time in his scenes, he jumps into the frame.
Because
he's an action man, right? Because he's a karate man.
And then the karate students fucking save the day when they're at the big fight at the thing.
The Asian people hiding in the closet.
In the supplies closet.
Yes. And they yell supplies.
To supplies the villains.
Instead of surprise.
No, I think a moment that my sister wanted to bring up was the fuck when the kid who win in the marble and the oatmeal, and then his prize is to get hit with a fire hose.
Oh my god. That was funny.
What's going like that to me? That's kind of like a
sometimes,
joke.
Sometimes it's so outlandish.
I just can't help but laugh. It's like I have no idea.
To me, it was kind of lost on me, but you know, I think it's sometimes it's hit or miss.
Because they looked so happy in the oatmeal, like he was, and they were working so hard
to find the marble
for the fire hose. It's like oh fuck, I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't get it. But you know what? Maybe that's okay. And we got the music video during one of the.
They straight up copy and pasted the music video.
To be fair, the
movie probably came first.
It did. Yeah. It did. Of course. So they made this first, the Beverly Hillbillies, which apparently was a parody of. Take a look. What is it? Fuck. What's it called?
I don't know.
I think the Dire Straits song. Whatever. It's not important. But the reason I wanted to bring that one up. It's the fucking pre-Toy Story CG is wow.
Very 80s, that's for sure.
Wait,
when did this movie come out?
I want to say mid-80s? Oh, 89.
Okay. Oh, so basically almost the 90s.
Okay. No, but like, you can... Like, sometimes I look at Toy Story 1, I'm like, wow, this is really dated, and then I look at this, and I'm like, okay.
Maybe it's not dated.
I've seen how far we've come. Yeah.
The pinnacle of animation, X-Arm?
Yeah, you know, I guess, anyway. More normal. Oh yeah, I really like the Weird Al show. Like the first version of Stanley show when it had Weird Al in it. And like the first part is like he's trying to just get these. He's being like the typical like Krusty the Clown. It's like, hey kids, what we're gonna do today? Oh, where we go? And they're just sandbagging the shit out of it.
I know where you're going with this.
And then after he, you know, his girlfriend breaks up with dumped. Him, he's just like, hey kids, where do you want to go today?
He's just super sad and moody.
He's like, oh, who cares? We're all gonna fucking die anyway. Whatever.
We all die at some point, you little weasel. No, that was actually pretty good.
But then it's saved by the greatest speech, a life-affirming speech by Stanley.
Yeah, life is like a mop.
Life is like a mop.
Sometimes there's shit in it.
Sometimes there's shit in it, and sometimes the floors are dirty. You just gotta shout to the world, hey, these floors are fucking dirty. You know, but you know what? I think that he's got a point. Sometimes you just gotta sit back and think, man, well, what a world. You know? You know, man? You just...
I mean, that's another theme of this movie, right? The classic Never Give Up, John Cena.
Yeah, hey. Hey, you know he's in Fortnite now?
Yeah, that's news. That's worthy news.
Let's
over is John Cena? He's in fucking Fortnite.
Yeah, we're gonna go start...
They didn't put Conor McGregor in Fortnite, I'll tell you.
They put The Rock in Fortnite, though.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But The Rock is over, so, you know, so he's gotta be in Fortnite. Oh, I do want to point out... Oh, actually, since we're getting to key directing...
Oh, yeah.
I do want to say the pacing between the imaginary... let me rephrase this. So Stanley having an overreactive imagination plus the framing of the UHF vignettes, or rather TV shows and commercials, I thought that was a really smart way to pace it. And plus, they actually do have their fair share of high comedy moments and then the slower plot moments, right? Like, for example, I think they did like a commercial, then it cuts to, hey, we're in the red, we're not gonna, you know. I thought there's a good balance. It's not all in your face at once, and I like a movie with good pacing. But there was just one transition that was really strange, but it was after the Potato Mountain. They just cut straight to going to a house party.
Oh yeah, that one was kind of jarring.
Yeah, I missed the dialogue, but I wasn't quite sure what the relation was between Stanley.
Yeah, what was going on?
It ended up being his aunt and uncle.
Yeah, who did set the plot up because his uncle won the station in a poker game, apparently.
Right. Is that what it was?
Some sort of gambling thing. He won the station from.
Did he always owe that guy money?
I don't know. I just knew that, like, eventually he owed him $75,000.
Yeah. I don't know if that was set up there, but...
Or just, like, he's got some mobby-ish...
Mob friends. Yeah.
Mafian? Is that a word?
No, definitely not.
Ugh. Yeah.
But no, I thought that was kind of, like, it was out of left field.
Yeah, that's kind of confusing.
But other than that, no, I liked how they set this movie up.
I really do appreciate the way it was structured. And it actually made sense of a bunch of nonsensical skits.
That was a good way to frame it.
Yeah. Going to effects, other than like the early CGI, let me think. And like the music had some of the some stuff from Weird Al, but like were there any songs that weren't? I guess Stanley did start singing that one song.
What? What did he sing?
Oh, when he goes kidnapped. He started singing like the theme to like an old Western TV show. When he was kidnapped? And he started annoying the shit out of
I just know
his
he
captors.
Was he was just saying a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't they just gag him, honestly?
To be fair, yeah. Honestly, they probably should have just done that. But yeah, FX, it's a movie from the '80s. The scientist guy that we didn't really
We should mention that, yeah.
There's apparently an alien at the very end, and
David CGI'd his face, and he got beamed up into space.
Pretty cool.
That was actually, honestly, I appreciated that.
Yeah,
moment.
Like, just like, fuck it, why not? You know? Like, just, like, we don't know where he came from. He was trying to make plutonium. He was teaching you how to make plutonium.
Yeah.
On TV.
He was trying to serve a greater purpose on Earth, and apparently that greater purpose was helping the small town station win over the big one.
Yeah. Anyway.
Because it's about the people.
It's about the people, you know? The strong socialist message. Anyway.
You heard it here first, folks. The UHF
is featuring communism, as said by Twinkle Toes.
Yeah, sure.
That's exactly what he said verbatim.
It's the channel of the people. Taking down corporate America. Taking down the... Tell me you're wrong. They own the stocks. To be fair,
that's true. Yeah, I do think they all bought stock.
I do think it's an interesting thing. The Green Bay Packers actually kind of operate on that, where a lot of fans actually own stocks.
That's insane. Do they get free tickets at least?
I have no idea. I don't think it's cheap.
That should be comp tickets at that
point. I mean, obviously the team still has. It's not like they're running. They're not like coaching the team and all that shit. That'd be fun. The whole town of Green Bay is just like, all right, A-Rod, just throw it up. Just throw it up there. Yeah, get him.
Why are you punting? What are you, a pussy?
Come on.
Fucking run that shit down the middle. I don't care how many yards you're behind.
Oh, man.
Just all the backseat, or rather the Sunday morning couch quarterbacks.
Actually, I think that's... Have you heard of fan-controlled football?
No, that sounds awful.
I think that's kind of how... I've never actually looked into exactly how it works, but I do know, like...
It's not just Madden?
But there's like some sort of like fan voting that influences decisions. I think it might include even straight up plays.
No, dude, no. If I was a fucking head coach of a football team, I'm not gonna fucking
But the whole game
80% of America said we should run the ball down the middle. Let's hope the other team doesn't read what the play is.
80% of America wants us to punt on first down. Oh,
I guess we gotta do it.
At least the other team is subject to the other horror.
Same bullshit.
So I guess it balances it out.
Wait, hold on. The offense on first down has to punt, but then the defense on first down has to set up for field goal defense.
It's like, you know. It's just
everyone on the fucking gridiron, everyone on the on the line of scrimmage. All right, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. So,
what are your closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. No, this is the greatest movie of all. Okay, I love saying that stuff, but honestly, no, I was really surprised by how much I enjoy this movie now. Personally, like, I fucking love Weird Al. I love his music. And actually, I've been meaning to say this because he does have a song that's a parody of American Pie that.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, that is the Star Wars Episode 1 parody.
Yeah.
Addendum to our episode on Episode 1. Don't watch it, just listen to that, and you're fine. You're good. Honestly, it's a lot shorter, too. A lot more entertaining.
No, but then, you know, you can't see Anakin do a cool flip.
Watch Episode 2, then. I don't know.
No. In Episode 1, he does a cool flip in the spaceship. And then Episode 3, he does a cool flip and dies. See, parallelism.
It's like poetry and rhymes.
Parallelism.
Yeah, and I was kind of worried. It's like, oh, it's just gonna be me and you sitting on our hands just
with your sister.
She's a big Weird Al fan as well. But no, I was surprised. Like the plot.
Was this her idea?
No, this was all me.
Okay,
I know a lot of the movies we do.
Yeah,
because I get real lazy normally
when I hand you the ball to pick something. You're like, Bianca said we should do this.
Yeah,
and I normally end up fucking hating.
I'm a lazy piece of shit. And I'm like, hey, whatever. I don't want to have to face consequences. And part of me was kind of worried. It's like, oh, is it gonna be too weird?
You're kind of too weird because it's Weird Al.
Yeah.
No, you were worried that he's gonna shit on it, and it was actually my choice.
Yeah, it was my choice. But no, I mean, I fucking loved it. Lots of good real laughs, you know, which not everything makes me, you know, not every comedy, you know, makes me.
I think that's the worst, right? I think a drama that you can't really buy into, you kind of make.
Yeah, you can make fun of it.
You make fun of it, you know, and you get something out of it. But I think a comedy that's just shitty.
Oh yeah, if it's not funny, then
you really have nowhere to go.
Yeah, you just So basically,
like, even bad action movies can be funny, right? Like, because then, like, it just looks so comedically bad.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
No, I do want to say, going into this movie, you know, I was blind. Movie started, like, it was kind of funny to me, but I was thinking, like, oh, this is going to be kind of shitty for a whole hour and a half. But no, like, I really did enjoy it. I think this is, like, one of those movies you could play when you're with a group of people, and you're like, oh, what should we put on the TV? And maybe they're not totally paying attention to what's happening on screen, but if you put it on the TV, people... We'll find something.
Yeah,
you know,
they'll find something to enjoy. You know, I will say, actually, I do kind of feel like the way this humor is does kind of remind me of like modern day internet humor.
Yeah, definitely.
So I like to think like it's like a microcosm or a see into the future. Of,
sure, sure.
Kind of like it's just whoever random people making videos out of their home, whatever whatever means, and getting going. Well,
that's
viral,
a good point.
You know?
Yeah, it's actually
Stanley was the first viral superstar.
That's actually a nice way to like glean some meaning, or rather some value from it. But no, I don't think all the jokes hit, and you know, honestly, in a lot of comedies, not all the jokes are gonna hit.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should just dismiss this movie simply because it's a Weird Al movie. Granted, not all the humor's. I mean, these kind of movies, like some people just don't have the taste for it, right? But I think for a general population, they could find some sort of enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
Would I say like you should go out of this way to grab people and be like, "We're watching this movie. Everyone, pay attention, no matter what." Yes. I would disagree. But like, look, if I took Joanna to watch this movie, like I think I would have to get a refund for the date night for this movie.
I don't know if she'd.
But see, this was a good movie for us to watch, and I'm actually glad we covered it. So
yeah, all right, I'm really glad to hear that.
So like, I think if you have a more loose sense of humor, you can enjoy this movie.
Yeah. All right.
Well, hey, folks, you know how it goes. We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. See ya.
Bye.